What if your entire existence started because someone failed to keep their word? Kevin Hart's life began with his father's broken promise to pull out, a moment that sent his mother into 3 weeks of tears, watching her fresh start after computer programming school vanish. While his father juggled 30 women and 11 children across 6 different mothers, his mother was the opposite, disciplined, bossy, viewing sex as sacred. Though unwanted, stewing in his mother's anger, Kevin chose to reframe his origin as one of passion. He inherited his mother's relentless work ethic and his father's humor and optimism. This wasn't just an accident. It became the foundation of an extraordinary journey, showing how our worst beginnings can become our greatest strengths. When Kevin was 8, his father disappeared for 4 years, returning with vague excuses. This unreliability continued, casually mentioning unknown siblings or sudden departures. While his brother Kenneth was devastated, Kevin developed his gift, the shoulder shrug, processing difficult information without holding on to negative emotions. The rare appearances were memorable for wrong reasons. On their first post-separation outing, his father let 8-year-old Kevin drive a motorboat with zero experience. Kevin crashed into another boat, destroying both. His father's reaction? "Damn it, boy, you done did this one bad," before telling the rental owner they'd figure it out, meaning never returning. Another time, men attacked his dad on the street. Between punches, his father calmly told the boys to run home, then strolled in an hour later covered in blood, asking about food. Despite these experiences, Kevin chose not to be angry. Your life today is the sum total of your choices. If you're unhappy, look back and start making different ones. Appreciating his crazy-ass father became one of the right choices leading to his success. After his father left, Kevin's mother became fiercely controlling to keep him off the streets. Her newfound religious devotion intensified her discipline, enforced with belts or whatever was at hand. She created a military schedule: up at 6 a.m., school until 3, basketball, then swim team, chosen because she couldn't imagine a criminal swimmer. After swimming came supervised homework, dinner, and bed. Weekends meant exhausting public transportation odysseys, 6 hours traveling to shop for 1 hour. In 7th grade, Kevin rebelled, declaring he'd live with his dad instead. She agreed. His fantasy of freedom shattered when he saw his father's squalid single-room apartment, filled with strangers, animals, filth, and chaos. With no hot water, no real meals, and nowhere to sleep, he called his mom the next morning begging to return. Though he resented her strictness as a child, Kevin later recognized how it prepared him for entertainment's demanding schedules, teaching him to accept structure without complaint. Kevin's comedy journey started at his swim team banquet, where he received the Participant Award for Perfect Attendance, a certificate, not even a trophy. Taking the podium unprepared, something clicked. "Hello, I'm Nancy's son, though a lot of y'all know me as the cheater," he began, referencing a photo of him adjusting goggles mid-race. For 15 minutes, he kept the room laughing with impersonations and self-deprecation. It was his first stand-up set, and it killed. After high school, Kevin drifted, fired from lifeguarding on day 2, cut from basketball, failing community college. At City Sports, he faked his way through selling sneakers with pure personality until he combined knowledge with charm and became unstoppable. A coworker named Alice planted the seed. "You're fucking hilarious. You should do stand-up." His girlfriend Tori agreed. On the way to his first amateur night at Laugh House, his friend suggested Lil Kev the Bastard as his stage name. That first laugh felt incredible, better than almost anything he'd experienced. In 5 minutes, Kevin had fallen in love with stand-up. Keith Robinson, a veteran comedian, became Kevin's crucial mentor. After watching him perform, Keith delivered brutal feedback. "You're doing black crowd tricks, prepackaged comedy that works but reveals nothing about you." He insisted Kevin use his real name and develop material about his actual life. Keith then delivered life-changing advice. "If you're really serious, you gotta get out of here. You gotta get to New York." There, Keith drove Kevin to 7 comedy clubs in one night, performing the same material at each while Kevin watched. They continued this for weeks, Keith showing Kevin the comedy ecosystem he needed to join. Keith's mantra, just tell the truth, then work your way to funny from there. The breakthrough came when Keith convinced Kevin to talk about his relationship problems on stage, using real names, real conversations, real feelings. Though terrified, Kevin told the audience about his fights with his girlfriend and calling the police. They responded with deep belly laughter. Kevin had an epiphany. The audience wasn't laughing at clever jokes, they were laughing at his reactions to life situations. The humor came from his uniqueness and personality, not fabricated stories. For the first time, he understood that he himself was funny, not just his material. He wasn't just an entertainer making people laugh, he was becoming an artist helping them understand. Kevin's breakthrough came with Paper Soldiers, a hood classic that landed him a $275,000 NBC holding deal. He moved to Hollywood and spent lavishly on an SUV, designer clothes, and furniture. When his pilot wasn't picked up, the money vanished. Rather than quit, Kevin reframed auditions as opportunities to impress casting agents for future roles. This mindset earned him a spot in Scary Movie 3, but his sitcom The Big House was canceled before airing, and Soul Plane flopped, making him toxic in Hollywood. His business manager delivered crushing news. He owed nearly $400,000 in back taxes with only $30,000 in his account. Then his SUV was stolen. Absolute bottom. Kevin made a pivotal decision. I just want to do stand-up for a while. I need to get out of LA and work the road. He toured relentlessly. Dingy clubs, college auditoriums, corporate events. After meeting Dane Cook, whose innovative audience-building approach became his blueprint, Kevin implemented a comprehensive fan engagement strategy, collecting contact information, creating city-specific databases, maintaining personal connections. He and the Plastic Cup Boys did grassroots promotion, visiting malls, barbershops, community centers. First visits sold out weekends, return visits added Thursdays, eventually outgrowing traditional comedy venues entirely. Kevin's breakthrough came headlining Shaquille O'Neal's All-Star Comedy Jam, teaching him to always perform at his best because you never know who's watching. Despite million-dollar offers to join package tours, Kevin refused. He'd spent 4 years building his brand with loyal friends. He couldn't sacrifice integrity for money. Instead, he jumped from 250-person clubs to 2,500-seat theaters. His special Laugh at My Pain earned nearly $8 million theatrically, and Think Like a Man hit number one, making $92 million on a $12 million budget. Kevin became the first comedian to sell out Philadelphia's Lincoln Financial Field, 53,000 people, then donated hundreds of thousands to build playgrounds in his mother's name. Heartbeat Productions expanded to 4 companies, and Nike made him their first comedian sponsor. Kevin identified 8 success qualities: persistence, patience, class, commitment, learning, passion-centered competitiveness, positivity, and embracing discomfort. Growing up with nothing, sleeping in hallways, no car, too poor for haircuts, built his foundation. This book isn't my life story, it's my foundation, Kevin concludes. I'm raising the ceiling of what's possible. Your foundation isn't your ceiling. The question isn't where you started, it's what you're building with what life gave you.